Welcome to the Lean Solutions Podcast. This is the podcast that adds value to leaders by helping you improve performance using process improvement solutions with bottom line results. My name is Patrick Adams, and this season, I'll be joined by three other amazing hosts, including Catherine McDonald from Ireland, Andy Ulrich from Australia, and Shane Doffenbaugh from the United States. Join us as we bring you guests and experiences of lean practitioners from all over the world. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lean Solutions Podcast, led by your hosts, Shane Doffenbaugh, and myself, Patrick Adams. How's it going, Shane?
Sir, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Shane, so today's episode, the topic is lean sucks if you're not doing it right. So I'm excited to have this conversation. But you actually did a word on the feed, right? You went out to LinkedIn, you solicited some thoughts or ideas from our some of our followers. And so I just wanted to kind of hear how that went, how'd it go?
It was good. It was good. I have some great things. Some of them are pretty obvious. Some of them may not be. You know, let me just read you some of the things, and I'm just going to read some of the highlights. There are some great points out there, but lean sucks when it's only cost-cutting exercises focused on lowering expenses. And then I love this. Lean is not an acronym that stands for less employees are needed. So that was, all right.
Nice.
Lean sucks without understanding the underlying philosophy or theory. And I'm hoping we're going to be able to touch on some of these, you know, as we're going in. Lean sucks when the organizations misuse it as a weapon to overburden their workforce under the guise of efficiency. Totally get that one. Like that one, that one's good. When lean sucks when it's not followed with action, or when it's deployed as more of a hobby or a shiny new thing, instead of having an established network of champions and a clear owner of the process. Lean sucks where there is not enough people to reinforce the methods. Another one, getting more people involved. And then I'll just leave, I'll end it here with this one. Lean sucks when leaders come up with any new technique without ensuring that the entire workforce on the floor is on board with this new way of working.
Those are some good ones. Love it. Good stuff. Well, so today we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about this topic of lean sucks when it's not done right. Obviously, most of us that are listening here and you know, us here on the call, we know that lean is a transformative approach. However, there is many organizations and many people in organizations that have a bad taste in their mouth. You know, when implementation goes awry, you know, lean isn't always looked at as being positive, and there's very specific reasons around that, which some of them you just mentioned. So I'm excited to kind of dig into this a little bit with our guest, Maria Macriani. And, so I want to hand it back over to you, Shane, and let you introduce Maria and talk a little bit about her background. And then I'm looking forward to diving into this subject with her.
It's an impressive background. Maria is a seasoned process improvement expert with 22 years of experience as Air Force officer in aviation maintenance. She specializes in enhanced operational performance and profitability across various EU industries. Her expertise include designing and leading training programs in Lean Six Sigma and Lean Management, and her extensive background spans line and heavy maintenance, quality inspection, aircraft maintenance resource management, and quality audits. As a chief aircraft engineer, she has improved and supervised aircraft maintenance processes, contributing to published scientific journals. And additionally, she holds a BA in aeronautical engineers, a master's in science in advanced industrial and manufacturing systems, focusing on reliability analysis and TQM for jet fighter maintenance operations. She's also a certified systemic analyst. That's a mouthful, Maria. We are very excited to have you here joining us this day. So thank you so much for coming
on. Good evening. Good evening, Shane. Good evening, Patrick from Europe. It's my pleasure to be here with you today. You are always inspiring with your podcast, and I hope that today we also have a very insightful conversation together.
Looking forward to it.
I think we will. Yeah. So let's jump off here with this question. This is it's interesting because you're coming from a military working environment, and that's a little bit different and unusual from the working place that we're Patrick and I are coming from, but also from those who typically listen to the podcast. Can you please tell us some of the basic characteristics of your working environment that would stand out if applied to civilian companies? Like what could also be useful from your experience?
Of course. I'm very proud of being a military officer in the Air Force for about 22 years now. This working place is a great school for me because I have been taught and fully assimilated core values that help me a lot in everything else I do in my life. When you hear about military, your first thoughts go to discipline. So from my 80s, when I started to study at the Air Force Academy, the first value that I learned was, of course, discipline. Military personnel are trained to adhere to strict standards of discipline and professionalism. This mindset emphasizes punctuality, attention to detail, and adherence to procedures, all of which can contribute to a culture of reliability and excellence in civilian organizations also. Another thing that I have been taught is leadership. Military leaders are taught to lead by example, inspire confidence, and make tough decisions under pressure. These leadership qualities, including integrity, resilience, and accountability, are highly valued in companies and can foster a culture of trust and respect among team members. In the Air Force, everything we do, we are always mission focused. An Air Force operates with a clear mission and objectives, and every action is oriented towards achieving those goals. This mission-focused mindset can also help civilian companies stay aligned with their strategic objectives, prioritize tasks effectively, and maintain a sense of purpose and direction. I don't know if you have seen the film Top Gun with Tom Cruise. Do you know this film, Sam, Patrick? Top Gun?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. Apart from from beautiful actors and actresses and powerful fighter aircraft, this film represents what we really do when we have to participate in a mission. From the beginning to the end of the mission, we learn to be always together, developing teamwork and collaboration. Military operations rely heavily on teamwork and collaboration among diverse teams and units. We don't care only about our individual success, but also want our colleagues to succeed and survive. Civilians can benefit from adopting a similar collaborative approach, breaking down silos and fostering cross-functional teamwork to achieve common goals and solve complex problems. We're taught to be adaptable and resilient. Military personnel are trained to adapt quickly to changing circumstances and overcome adversity. This adaptability and resilience are essential qualities in fast-paced and unpredictable civilian environments, enabling companies to respond effectively to challenges and seize opportunities for growth. We give also attention to detail. Military training emphasizes the importance of attention to detail in planning, execution, and evaluation of tasks. This meticulous approach can help organizations improve quality, reduce errors, and enhance customer satisfaction by ensuring that every aspect of their products or services meets high standards of excellence. We mitigate in real life the risk, developing contingency plans and mitigating threats to achieve mission success. Civilians can benefit from applying similar risk management principles to their business operations, identifying potential risks and implementing measures to minimize their impact on performance and profitability. And to end with, because I speak so much, we have developed training and continuous improvement spirit. The military invests heavily in training and development to ensure that personnel are prepared to handle a wide range of tasks and challenges. Similarly, companies can enhance employee skills and capabilities through ongoing training programs, mentorship, and opportunities for professional growth. And of course, all of the above are down under extremely increased time pressure, but always keeping in mind our major priority to keep safety and quality at high levels. And this, of course, is a challenge for us, and it's not always easy.
Yeah, yeah. Everything that you said was just resonating with me, because obviously, you know, that I spent 8 years in the military here in the US. And so everything that you just talked about, you know, I experienced in the military, and, you know, a lot of it when I was in the Marine Corps wasn't necessarily called lean or process improvement, but you talked about a lot of the enablers to a good culture of continuous improvement, which are learned in the military, you know, discipline being one of them. It just made me think about, as you're talking through, how some of those things can translate, you know, from the military to the civilian world. It's not easy, right? It's easy to talk about and say, oh yeah, just, you know, here's what we do in the military, just do that there and it'll work. And it's not always that case, for the reason that you said, just talking about discipline specifically. If, you know, in a civilian company, they may not have the same level of discipline that, you know, you have in the military. And that's why I always love when I get to companies where they have, you know, a few military members who have been, who are in the leadership team or, you know, embedded there somewhere, because you do start to see some of that come out. But I guess my question for you is, how do civilian companies achieve or adopt some of those similar tendencies that are taught in the military? Like, how do we turn that into tangible actions that a civilian company could do and adopt into their organization so that they can have some of those similar results that you're having in the Air Force?
It's a good question, Patrick. It's not easy. I know that it's not easy to be disciplined, but when you are mission focused, it's another thing that I believe that lacks from companies is mission focusing. I don't know if they have a clear vision for what they want to do in their working life. So we design the mission. The first thing is to design the mission. And when we have a clear, when we have clear thoughts of what we want to do, you know that you have to be disciplined in order to reach the mission, to reach to the goal, and to survive from this mission. Because our defect, it's not a defect product. Our defect, it's our life.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And that, you know, kind of leads into the next question around, because you had mentioned that, you know, one of that long-term goal, or that, you know, what we would call the true north for the Air Force, you talked about safety and better quality, right? Those are kind of two of the areas that you're trying to always working towards, you know, in improve, having no, zero to no safety incidents and having better quality result. So, you know, from a lean perspective, you know, how has lean helped the Air Force successfully implement or successfully achieve their mission of reducing safety and quality in what they do? How does it tie together?
Yeah, okay. I think that this question, it's not only your question. It's the question from the majority of people that are listening to this podcast. I work as a Lean Six Sigma trainer in companies also. And when I tell them that I am an officer in Air Force, they are wondering, what could an officer tell about Lean to us, who are a manufacturing company or an insurance company, for example? As I said before, one of our real enemies is time. We must do our job under time pressure conditions, but keeping in mind that safety and quality is our first priority. Lean philosophy provides insightful principles and tools that help a special working environment like mine to enhance efficiency, effectiveness, and readiness. When I started working in the Air Force, I was only 18 years old. Then nobody told me that in the Air Force we have implemented Lean. But I've started working based on Lean principles. I learned to think how to become better day by day, how to organize and standardize what we do, how to minimize the time in what we do, because of the most of the time for us, improvement is a matter of life or death, as I said before. To produce defectively or to produce late in my workplace means that someone could possibly be killed. After many years, I learned through the continuous studies I did that most of the things that I do every day in my working environment comes from Lean. For example, a basic Lean concept is streamlining processes. Military organizations identify and eliminate waste in their processes to optimize resource utilization and reduce inefficiencies. This involves streamlining logistics, supply chain management, and administrative procedures to ensure that resources are allocated effectively and missions are executed efficiently. We embrace a culture of continuous improvement that enables military units to adapt to evolving threats, technology, and operational environments. By encouraging soldiers and leaders to identify opportunities for innovation and efficiency gains, military organizations can enhance their readiness and effectiveness over time. Everything we do also comes from standardized procedures and protocols. So another Lean tool that we use is standardization and can also enhance safety and reduce the risk of errors during complex operations. We have also adopted a just-in-time approach that enables military organizations to minimize inventory costs, reduce waste, and enhance agility. By closely monitoring demand signals and rapidly deploying resources as needed, military units can maintain readiness while minimizing excess inventory and logistical overhead. We use visual management tools such as status boards, performance metrics, and situational awareness displays that enable military leaders to monitor and manage operations effectively. By providing real-time visibility into key metrics and performance indicators, visual management tools facilitate rapid decision-making and coordination across distributed military units. Total productive maintenance, the well-known TPM, is another Lean tool that is widely used in the Air Force, maintaining equipment reliability and availability for keeping Air Force readiness at a high level. And of course, we have developed a data-driven decision-making system. Data analytics and intelligence enables military leaders to make informed decisions based on real-time information and analysis. By collecting, analyzing, and disseminating actionable intelligence, military organizations can enhance situational awareness, anticipate threats, and optimize resources allocation in support of mission objectives, of course. And these are the common tools that we use from Lean in order to make our working life better and better every day.
Sure.
Right, right. I love how you started with, hey, when I started this 18 years ago, no one called this Lean, but everything you just mentioned, you know, if I were to pull some of these books off behind me from my shelf, I would find those exact things. You just haven't, the way you were able to just say, hey, you know, let's look at this, you know, what's the principle behind this? The principle is standardization. This is how we do it. You know, this is the Lean principle of it. You're able to just make those connections from the real world, you know, into that, the philosophy of Lean. You also mentioned that you're a lean trainer for civilian companies. You know, and as we were talking here before we started recording about the opportunity you have to, how do you say it, lay your stone on the path that people have toward lean, where you can see, you know, different ways that lean principles are adopted by the companies. From your experience, why do companies fail to take advantage of the benefits offered by adopting these philosophies and the things you just, all those great things you just mentioned?
Yeah, okay, same. I have been invited by companies to train them on lean philosophy. And they tell me that they have started implementing lean, but they find this journey a little bit difficult. And of course, there are several reasons why companies might fail to fully embrace and take advantage of the benefits offered by adopting the lean philosophy. As a military officer, I will start with lack of discipline, of course. What we say before with Patrick also. Companies mm-hmm. have goals or habits they want to achieve, but lack that discipline needed to stick with it. And that leads to more failure because they are forming a mindset that they don't have the necessary discipline. People also resist change. Implementing lean principles often requires significant changes to existing processes, workflows, and organizational culture. Lean requires abandoning the old way of thinking. You have to think differently. Some employees and managers may resist these changes due to fear of the unknown, unwillingness to let go of familiar ways of working, or concerns about leaving their safety zone. Most of the time, people want to change, but without leaving behind anything they have been doing so far. And this is not possible. Change No. entails, above all, the abandonment of old and familiar habits, and that scares them a lot. Sometimes, yeah. Do you want to add something, Patrick, to this? Do you agree with this?
I was just going to say
the resistance of change.
Yeah, I was just going to say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Right, that's complete insanity, and that's exactly what you just described, and what Shane and I see in many organizations that we go into where. The people are wanting a different result. They want to develop a culture of continuous improvement, but they're not willing to change their behaviors or their actions. They want to have the same behaviors, the same actions, but expect a different result. Exactly. It's complete insanity, right?
Exactly. They want to have better products and they want to have better processes without changing. And it's not feasible. Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another problem is lack of leadership, commitment. Lean transformations are accompanied with strong leadership, dedication, and support at all levels of the organization. If leadership is not fully aligned with the lean philosophy or fails to provide the necessary resources and guidance, implementation efforts are likely to fail. I have seen companies that face difficulties in training and education. Successfully implementing lean principles demand the correct training and education for employees at all levels. Sometimes companies don't have the time to train the employees. And I will come again to the previous discussion that we had with Patrick. They want to change their processes. They want to go to the lean transformation, but they don't have time to train the employees. And it's disappointing also. If employees misunderstand the concepts and methodologies behind lean, they may have unwittingly difficulty to effectively implementing lean in their day-to-day work. Sometimes companies rush to see short-term results from lean implementation. Lean transformations often involve upfront investment of time and resources with the expectation of long-term gains, which may not align with the short-term focus of some organizations. Sometimes top management is impatient and can't wait. Sometimes companies forget that lean is not a one-time initiative, but rather a continuous journey of improvement. Companies that fail to foster a culture of continuous improvement, where employees are empowered to identify and implement changes, may struggle to sustain over time the benefits of Lean. I also observe misalignment with organizational goals. If there is a disconnect between the objectives of the Lean transformation and the overall direction of the company strategy, implementation efforts may lack direction and support. To be honest, I have seen companies that overlook the human element. Lean is not just about optimizing processes. It also includes empowering and engaging employees to contribute to improvements. Companies that neglect the human element of Lean, focusing solely on technical aspects, may struggle to achieve sustainable results. And of course, last but not least, there is poor implementation strategy. Implementing Lean principles requires careful planning and execution. Companies that rush into implementation without a clear strategy or sufficient preparation are more likely to encounter barriers and stumbling blocks along the way. And these are common reasons that I have seen in companies that face difficulties in Lean transformation. Personally, I believe that it's a joke if someone believes that Lean transformation is a piece of cake. While Lean methodology can deliver significant benefits when applied effectively, it's essential to acknowledge that it's not a one-size-fits-all solution and may not mm-hmm. always produce desired results if implemented incorrectly or incompletely. And I think, Patrick, you describe it perfectly in your book. There is fake and true Lean, and you have to choose which direction you want to follow and the leader who will lead you to the correct direction. Isn't it right, Patrick?
That is correct. Yes, absolutely. And that's where, you know, as we circle back around to the topic, you know, we talk about Lean sucks. Well, yeah, at company continuous appearance, which is where I experienced the fake Lean, Lean sucked there. And people would say that regularly, like, oh no, here we go again. Another flavor of the month, another, you know, whatever, you know. And I know our listeners are probably shaking their head and in agreement with me because maybe they've experienced it or, you know, or in some way they've either been there or they've heard about it. You know, so just thinking through that a little bit and all the things that you've talked about, Maria, around what you've experienced in the Air Force and how you've been able to make those connections to the civilian world and companies in the civilian world. You've been able to experience and be involved in companies that have a true culture of continuous improvement, companies that implement Lean philosophy in the right way. And the result of that, companies or organizations, military, that are doing it in the right way, that the result of that is an improved process. They have better quality, better safety, right? All the things that we've talked about. So just thinking about the other side, like you said, the fake Lean companies or the companies that are not doing it properly, what would you say are some of the most common problems that you've experienced that could arise with the people that makes them say Lean sucks, right? Yeah. When it was applied, because of how it was applied, what are some of those problems that you see? Hello, everyone. I am sorry to interrupt this episode of the Lean Solutions Podcast, but I wanted to take a moment to invite you to pick up a copy of my Shingo Award-winning book, Avoiding the Continuous Appearance Trap. In the book, I contrast the cultures of two companies I work for. And though each started with similar Lean models, one was mechanistic and only gave the appearance of Lean, while the other developed a true culture of continuous improvement. The contrast provides a vivid example of the difference between fake Lean and true Lean. You can find the book on Amazon. Simply search my name or the title of the book. You aren't a reader? No worries. The audiobook is also available on Audible. Now, back to the show.
The first problem that a company faces is more waste. You know, Lean aims to minimize waste in processes, and failing to identify and address the basic sources of waste can lead to more waste appearing in the existing processes. Imagine implementing Lean tools for minimizing waste, and after the implementation, you realize that waste is more. If nothing else, it's disappointing. Another problem is lack of continuous improvement. Continuous improvement is a core tenet of lean methodology. If you're not fostering a culture of continuous improvement, you may miss opportunities to streamline processes, to enhance quality and boost productivity over time. Furthermore, Lean is a customer-oriented philosophy, encouraging organizations to prioritize customer value and satisfaction. If you fail to be aligned with customer needs and preferences, you risk delivering products or services that fail to meet expectations, leading to reduced customer loyalty and market competitiveness. In simple words, your customers will always be disappointed and complain about what they accept from you. And in Greece, we say that the customer is always right, and this is correct. Failure to listen to customers' needs means failure to remain competitive in the market. Lean also encourages the use of key performance indicators to track progress and identify areas for improvement. If you're not correctly measuring performance metrics or not using them to guide decision-making, then you are driven to inconsistent results and you use your resources in inefficient initiatives. And in this way, instead of minimizing costs, you increase it. Moreover, although Lean promotes cross-functional collaboration and breaks down silos between departments, an inconsistent implementation of Lean philosophy can create the opposite. Teams operate in isolation or focus solely on departmental goals, creating conflict between competitive departments, and this leads to a culture of blame. Lean philosophy is not a theory to highlight the best or blame the worst, but to identify our weaknesses and become better through continuous improvement. All the above are disappointed, of course, and when companies face these difficulties, most of the time they abandon the effort for continuous improvement.
It was good. You mentioned a lot of things there, you know, about what happens when it's not applied properly, waste, maybe even more waste, because now the training that you just gave and spent all that time is a waste because it's not implemented. You mentioned the idea of continuous improvement. Like, hey, it's just a one-time deal. We'll bring in Maria. She's going to train us all up, and then we'll be good to go from here on out. Mm-hmm. That customer orientation and focusing on what does the customer want. And then one of the last ones that really caught my attention here that I wrote down is the culture of blame. You know, I have seen that so many times, just a common problem that arises with Lean, it doesn't even have to be Lean, but I do appreciate how you ended all of that with how Lean doesn't, it's not about pitting the best against the worst. Lean is about finding out where our deficiencies are, you know, or another way to say it, you know, where are the wastes and how can we continue to improve? How can we continue to get better? I love that idea. Thank you so much for sharing that. As we wrap up, I got one more question here for you that, you know, so we talked about what happens when Lean is not applied properly. But what would your advice be to companies that are applying Lean, but maybe they're not applying it right? You know, maybe they're like, hey, we're going to do this Lean thing. We don't know much about it. We're just going to give it a try. But, you know, it doesn't have like the discipline or some of the other things. So what would your advice be to that company, or possibly even companies that, you know, maybe now that they're listening to this podcast going, well, man, there's a lot of pitfalls to Lean. I don't know that we want to do this. You know, maybe this might be too much work, because you just mentioned a whole list of things. So, you know, let's end on this positive note. You know, Lean does suck when not done right, but you know what? Lean can do some amazing things for people's lives, for customers, for businesses. So what would you, I'm sorry, I just keep rambling. What would you advise a company who might be trying to implement Lean, but maybe not doing it correctly, according to some of the things that we've heard today? Maybe some things came up to their mind. Oh yeah, I should not do that. Or companies that are wanting to know, hey, is this Lean thing for me?
Okay. When I start a collaboration with a company, the first thing that I tell them is that if we want to compare Lean philosophy as a cloth, It is a cloth that is designed and tailored to fit its person. Its company must identify its own needs and particularities, set its own goals, and thus make its own plan for the implementation of the Lean philosophy. A tactic that worked in another company does not necessarily work in ours. Lean is not a one-size-fits-all solution, as I said before. It requires tailored approaches based on each organizational context. Of course, implementing Lean effectively involves understanding processes, identifying waste, and redesigning workflows. But I would tell them, not be afraid of resistance to change from people. It is expected and easy to manage. The problem comes when people don't resist to change. As time goes by, this resistance will be less and less. Companies should be able to quit things that don't work. You have to observe everything you do every day. And if you see anything that doesn't work anymore, don't be afraid to change it. Don't focus only on immediate results. Lean is a long-term transformation. You have to keep in mind that you make small steps every day, and after a long time, you reach the transformation you want to see. Be disciplined and goal-oriented, and don't let external factors such as market shifts, technological advancements, or regulatory changes disrupt your Lean initiatives. But you have to remain flexible and to adapt your Lean strategies to evolving circumstances. You must sustain momentum so that employees don't revert to old habits. I know that it's not easy, but you have to find ways to maintain engagement through regular communication, recognition of achievements, and ongoing training to prevent regression. You have to break the siloed thinking and departmental focus, encouraging cross-functional collaboration. You have to bring people together and to start thinking procedural and not departmental. You have to see on the processes and not on the department. Practice the philosophy of continuous improvement. Get a little bit better every single day. And as Sigio Cinco well said, Lean is a way of thinking, not a list of things to do. So the first thing we have to do is to start thinking differently.
Yeah, the LinkedIn post right there. I'm using that quote, a way of thinking, not a list of things to do.
It's a good one.
I'm going to post that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah. I especially, Maria, I especially loved your example of the one size doesn't fit all, and you know, the textile example of like the outfit doesn't necessarily, it just made me think about like, you know, some people wear a size 29 inch waist jeans. There's no way I could fit into that.
Exactly. And I gotta have one
that fits me, you know, so I gotta find the right size that fits me. And No, I really love that example. I loved love that thought, because that's exactly what our listeners have to think about, is you can't take what another company did and think that it's going to fit for your company. You have a different culture. It's a different time. There's a different industry, right? So you have to lean thinking is all about scientific thinking. It is scientific thinking. It's about developing what's going to work for you based on some of the problems that you might be experiencing in your organization. The solutions are going to fit those, right? If they fit your culture, they fit the issues that you have in your industry. So it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same as another company. So I really appreciate that example. Thank you. It's been great to have you on the show, Maria. The time flew. We had lots of good conversations. My hope is that people that are listening in that maybe saw the title of this podcast and thought, yeah, Lean does suck. I hope that they're listening to this and going, man, what if we just took some of what Maria said and applied it properly to our organization? What if we did find the right fit for our organization? Could we maybe make Lean not suck so much if we did it properly, right? And so that's my hope for our listeners. And I really appreciate you coming on and helping us to kind of navigate that road. So thank you for coming on and being with us today, Maria.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Zane. It's an honor to discuss with you, as you are also excellent and so experienced in those you serve and support with Lean Solutions. And I really hope that people listening to this discussion have found something helpful for their own journey to continuous improvement. I hope that from this podcast, someone have started thinking differently, because it's the first step.
Yes, that is the first step. And don't stop there, then continue forward. Exactly. And no, I appreciate that. Maria, we're going to put a link to your LinkedIn if people do have questions or they want to connect with you. I know you're out on LinkedIn, and also you're involved with the International Lean Six Sigma Institute out of the UK. And so obviously we have a partnership there as well. So I just appreciate what you do and how you're continuing to further the mission of getting lean thinking into every organization. I know you've spoken at a few conferences and with the military, the work that you're doing there. I just appreciate everything that you bring to the table. So thank you again for that. Shane, any last comments?
No, just thank you so much. It's been fun. I've really appreciated your articulate, the way you were able to articulate, you know, your ideas. I love the connection of your military to civilian, and that it just comes across, you know, pretty straightforward. Thank you so much for your time that you've given us, and have yourself a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Lean Solutions Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe. This way you'll get updates as new episodes become available. If you feel so inclined, please give us a review. Thank you so much.